from Missouri-rich bottomland to rolling crop and pasture land, and finally to the hickory and white oak hills atop shallow soils covering heavy veins of coal. So varied the topography of our home, Howard County, and equally varied the 10,000 folk living here. Let's hear their voices and stories. Let's get to talking. With all the physical and health problems that Glasgow's Johnny Ward has, he tells me, "Can you believe I'm still alive?" Well, he is. And I can see one or two more interviews with Johnny, so hang in there.
On the lagoon, are we going that way? Are we going? That's awesome, okay. Are you recording now?
Have you heard of the book, The Best Beer Run Ever?
No. Okay. I'm not sure. But.
Can you read a book with your magnifying glass?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to bring it by for you then. It's about a Marine veteran back in 68, and he's back in his home community. He's out of the Marines now. He's back in his home community in New York, and the guys in the bar say, you know, we need to do something to support our buddies that are still back there in Vietnam. And so he says, I tell you what, let's get a bunch of beer together, and I'll go back as a civilian to Vietnam and give them all a beer and tell them, we love you, man, hang in there. And so the whole book is about that. And a lot of it has to do with the Tet Offensive. And
I was there for
that. Yeah. From talking to you, I always thought the Tet Offensive was concentrated in Khe Sanh. But he was telling about how it was the whole country.
Yes.
And he talks about how they took over the embassy, and he's right in the middle of all that.
Yeah. He was in the middle of that part.
So it's quite a book. I will get it to you. My son John's reading it right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also been made into a movie, which I haven't seen. But John has. He's
in
the movie
that we're at the embassy in that Saigon thing.
Yeah.
I was gone. I was here then.
Right. But amazing, amazing book. I know you'll enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
So I will get it your way. How's the fishing been?
Zero.
Zero. Haven't gotten any.
Too cold.
Huh, I see.
And I'm on blood thinners. That's why I'm dressed today, but I've been sitting outside.
Well, you'll have to call Wayne because it's going to be like 82 degrees on Sunday. So.
Yeah, but then I don't know. Maybe I'll call him because... Yeah, you know, if it's going to be that. But is that all?
Yeah, I'm just putting it closer so you'll come onto the recorder better. No problem.
Okay, well, we'll leave it
now. Let's see. Monday you go to the doctor down at the VA?
Yes.
And you may be getting...
Not at the VA, but it's outsourced to Boone Neurosurgeons.
All right.
It's about surgery.
You may be getting lower back surgery?
Yes.
Maybe, yeah.
They won't do it Monday, but they'll sit the day.
How many surgeries will that make? Have you been keeping
39.
Track? 39?
After they do it.
Oh, man. Huh. And that was all since Khe Sanh and going on.
Oh, yeah. All of that.
Wow.
You're gonna know about it. I'm going to show you all the records when we get around to it. Go ahead.
About 3 months ago, the Biden administration announced a blanket settlement with folks who'd drank water at Camp Lejeune in the mid-60s. Did that include you?
Absolutely.
What health problems do you think were linked to that time frame?
There were numerous cancers, just all kinds of cancers, of all parts of the body, the blood. There was heart, blood malfunctions, thyroid disease, just off the top. And I have a whole list I could read to you. But in my case, I've had numerous problems with my intestinal tract and digestion, liver. Blood. I've just recently had surgery on my lung and my leg. They took numerous massive blood clots out of me. And this was one of the blood diseases that came from that poison that I had. there's brain damage. There's a neuropathy, and a lot of nerve damage involved in with the chemicals. Miscarriages. My ex-wife had numerous miscarriages.
When you were married, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, you had breast cancer, too, you said.
No, I had a tumor.
Okay.
In my left breast.
I see.
They were going to do surgery, but I canceled it because they were having, there was a nurse, a male nurse at the VA hospital in Columbia that were doing, they were going to send me to 4 East at the VA for this, for my surgery. The day that I was going, my sister and I was watching the news, and they announced that they had had these killings from this male nurse of the patients. Of course, they didn't know who he was at that time. On 4 East, the floor that I was scheduled, I canceled it.
Yeah, makes sense to me.
Told them I'm not coming. I didn't go. And they caught the guy in Ohio. That male nurse had went to Ohio and he was working in a hospital out there, and they caught him. But I never got that surgery. I was having colon spasms, diarrhea, vomiting, and passing out, and just helpless on the street, wherever I was. And I had numerous rides, ambulance rides to the hospital in Oakdale Naval Hospital in California. And they never knew. I never gave me a diagnosis. They gave me lots of drugs. And one of the doctors told me that all they could do is drug me into oblivion. And they tried it. They gave me all kinds of drugs. I've had them all. I've had morphine, Demerol, I mean, the whole gamut. But, and then I had other incidents where my skin, I had these skin rashes, where my skin would open up and weep. Fluids clear. It would be like, and when it closed, it'd be like, not a regular scalp, it was like plastic. You can see through it. You can see the flesh all through it, and you can see the fluids inside that plastic. It was hard. It got hard and cracked open and wept all kinds on my face, my back and my neck, just all over the place. And I'm still having skin problems from that. And I never knew what it was. No one ever gave me a diagnosis. I have a record full of all these things.
Yeah,
my thyroid went down.
This isn't just memory. You've got the health medical records saying all these things happened to
everything
you.
Everything is documented.
Yeah.
And I'm in court now for these things now that I'm thinking Agent Orange because I saw the poison.
Right.
And I saw what happened in the jungle when they sprayed. And there was a place I went to, the Quezon Valley. It was so beautiful when I first went there. This is in Vietnam now, mind you. I had already been exposed to combat. But I was shipped to Quezon as reinforcement. I didn't know what it was about. It was a beautiful place when I got there. There was nothing green left there after I left.
I first heard about this Camp Lejeune settlement maybe 3 to 4 months ago. And now it's on the TV all the time, lawyers saying, if you were in Camp Lejeune during this time period, and that ad is on a lot from the lawyers. And the other day I even got a robocall on my telephone saying, if you were in Camp Lejeune from such and such a time and have any of these maladies, contact us. So they are really going through to get as many people on this settlement as they can. Are you on a full disability now?
Yes, I'm 100% disabled. But none of that is the Camp Lejeune illness.
Right. So this will be a separate settlement coming up.
This is for the lawsuit that was already settled for approximately a million people.
Wow.
A million Marines. And they it's $300 billion put aside by the government.
Wow.
In the settlement of that case.
Is this broader than Camp Lejeune? Does it include like Agent Orange in Vietnam and the dump burning in Iraq and stuff like that?
Now they are. Now they're looking at that because it's mainly effective or affecting the senior military people.
Huh.
From the dates from 53 through 87.
Hmm.
And I was exposed to Camp Lejeune in 65 and 66 when I was there.
What's the next steps you need to be taking in this settlement situation?
Just a little fill out a paper here, fill out a paper there, and there's a multitude of papers.
I see.
But they've already, a lawyer has already taken my case.
I see.
So now they're finishing up filing it, done deal. We're in court. I don't have to go to court, though.
Mm-hmm. But the lawyers are taking it to...
Yeah, they're getting all the records they can right now. And they just sent me a letter today to get some more records.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, we'll stay posted on how this progresses, and it'll probably be in the news a lot, too. This is huge.
I'm sure it will. Yeah. It's huge, bigger than that. And it's still bothering me.
Right.
Immensely. Maybe even more so. Because now I know, and all the time since I left there, I've had problems. And there are just records. My records are full of them. You can't haul my records with a truck.
This is probably a question that I shouldn't even bother to ask, but maybe you have some good ideas on it. What does the Department of Defense have to do to clean up their act, or are they already changing the way they handle situations, do you think?
I don't think they can ever clean up in its entirety the mess that had been created. Well, because one, the Agent Orange poisoning, they're spraying poisons, calling it herbicide. Right. It's to kill the jungle, so deny the enemy a place to hide. Well, no, they were spraying it on crops. And the different sprays that they used, Agent Orange, Agent Pink, Agent White, Agent Brown, Agent Purple. They had about 11 different toxins that they sprayed that were designed to kill specific crops. Wheat, rice, grain, barley, all grass crops, grain crops, and coconut, papaya, food, all food. And there's no canopies over the crops. They're open. All rice fields are wide open. You can see all the way across them. I mean, everything is open. But they're spraying all that. All that's...
Well, I guess maybe the difference now is like in Afghanistan, there isn't all that spraying because it's a giant desert.
Yes.
There's nothing to kill.
Yes.
Except the Taliban they're trying to get.
Yes.
Yeah. Well...
And then the opium.
Yeah, that's right.
They still have that
floating
around.
Yep. That's where they were getting all their money from. Kind of changing direction a little bit now, or not a little bit, a whole lot. When did you leave California and come back to Glasgow on a more permanent basis? I'm sure you visited from time to time, but when did that switch happen?
Well, I've done it. Just the last one is I just came back from the Far East.
But like when I first met you, when had you just come back from California? That would have been like late 80s, maybe.
No, we met before then.
Before that?
Well, I think. Let me see. No, it was, late 80s.
Mid to late
80s.
Yeah. Had you been back from California very long then?
Yeah, I had been back for 22 years, but I was still suffering.
I see.
I've done, that's where most of my records are.
I see.
Accumulated in California for the 22 years that I spent there.
22 years in California. Wow.
Yeah, a lot of it was hospital time. But I was still, because I fly free anywhere, I was still in and out, in and out.
So mid to late 80s, we met. Have any idea how that happened? I can't remember.
I remember somewhat. It was about fishing.
Okay. That's what I thought it probably was.
Yeah, it was about fishing in the first place, and I was all over the place out in the country. And that's how I do. I kind of surge around.
My recall is you caught several snapping turtles at my place.
Well, they were trying to hijack my fish. When I catch them, I put them in the water, and then if I walk off, here they come.
I kept checking to see if maybe you'd lost any more fingers to the snapping turtles.
I got bit again on this finger.
Huh? By a snapping turtle?
Yes.
Wow.
I was trying to get the hook out of it, out of the mouth, and I got a little close with the knife, and he got me, and I jerked my hand up. I was all the way over my head when he fell off.
Well, you've met a lot of people through fishing their ponds.
I have. But it's the only thing I can eat.
Yeah.
Because my stomach problems just won't digest meat. And everything has been messed up since 1970. I haven't eaten meat since 1970.
Do you remember doing that Bible study together?
Yes.
It was you and Ray Whitley and Wayne Wright and Dave Thomas and myself. I'd milk early on those days, and then we'd get together about 6:30 in the morning and spend about an hour together. We studied 1 Samuel. Yeah.
I don't know what all we studied, but we were in it.
I think probably I hooked you guys, and it was valid, by saying, how would you like to study a book that is 3,000 years old, and it's about three dudes? One of them didn't want to become a king, but he became a king. One of them was a judge. People bring all their problems to him, and he'd decide how it should be rectified. And then the other one was a young man who spent his life out in the desert protecting his dad's sheep, and he'd run off the bears and the lions with his slingshot. And this book is about those three dudes and how they interacted. And I think that probably intrigued you all and said, yeah, let's do it.
Let me tell you a little secret.
Yeah.
Since then, I have endeavored to take the studies very, very far. Very, very far.
Interesting.
I'm a real historian at this point. And I have some doubts about some of the information.
Sure.
I have some verifications that anti some of the information that we had back in the day.
Yeah.
My uncle, I was named after my uncle. He was a reverend. And we used to fight when I was about 5 years old. Because he would, when he was preaching, this one Sunday, I remember well, he was preaching and he was blasting all the old timers and guys that used to hang out on the back tracks in Glasgow downtown. And they down there drinking. And I had a tendency to hang out around these older guys.
Sure.
Now, I wasn't drinking. But they'd asked me to drive in places. I didn't even have a driver's license. I was too young for a driver's license in the first place. They'd asked me to drive them. I was working on a milk truck with Bill Brown. And I used to even drive the milk truck. Sometimes he didn't go, and I would go. But he puts another grown person in there, and I end up driving the truck because I know the route. I'm all down in Columbia Field, everywhere I'm waving at the police and everybody. They know I can't hardly even see over the, through the steering wheel trying to look over the dashboard. They knew I didn't have a license or anything. But I was driving all over the place in the milk truck, so whenever they wanted to go out and drink in some places, I would drive. But anyway, my uncle was blasting these guys by sinners and all they do. They really, really made them just evil and all kinds of stuff. And then after church, he came by our house to see my parents. I said, "What's that you have in your back pocket?" "Ah, boy, go on. You know, it's none of your business. Leave it." It was a half pint of whiskey. I said, "You just left the church talking about these people."
Right.
Like that.
Yeah.
"And look at you."
Yeah.
"Oh, boy, go on with that." Nah, 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 nah. And I really got on it. But I went a long way with that. And it I'm pretty highly educated about it now.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
A lot.
Yeah.
More than average, for sure.
So you've been doing a lot of reading.
I have. I did, and I still do. Well, not now, because I'm right. Blind, and I'm legally blind, and I don't want to stretch out too much.
Well, that was the first time I had ever done a study like that. And I would come with about 3 or 4 questions is all, and I'd throw them out. You know, we'd read 2 or 3 chapters of the Bible, and I'd throw those questions out. And you guys would just take off running, yakking about what your thoughts were and what you'd learned. And it was pretty wild. And after about an hour, we'd come up for air. I learned a lot from you all then. You'd just returned from the California scene, so you had a lot of stories about that. Wayne had just gotten out of jail in Iowa, either for doing drugs or selling drugs, I think.
No,
maybe.
No.
What was he in for?
It's personal, but I'll say it. He was driving a car, and he stopped. These guys had him stopped around the corner and let him out. And they had went and robbed a place.
Ah.
He didn't know it. He didn't go in.
Wow.
He wasn't even involved, but the driver, guess what?
Sure. That's a story I did not know.
That's right.
Interesting.
And, then that's a good thing that we're talking about it. Let me tell you what. It really affected his character tremendously. And he swore to me, "I'll never go back. It'll never happen again." And he's worked for, not to distract the conversation, but he's worked 2 jobs forever in the last 35 years.
Yeah.
Big Wayne has.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you corrected me on that, because I could never picture Wayne as being someone who would have been selling drugs.
No, it wasn't that.
That's not him.
Now, I gave you the straight scoop.
Right.
He'll tell you exactly what, that's how I know. Mm-hmm. And I've seen him on numerous times since that time, and he's done wonderful.
Yep.
In my opinion, he's done so wonderful. And he's helping. He even helps me today.
Yeah.
Guess who's taking me to the hospital on Monday? Wayne.
Yeah.
He comes here from all the way from Columbia.
Wayne
parks his truck, takes my key, we're gone.
Wayne, every Christmas day, we could plan on seeing him. He would stop in to wish us a Merry Christmas. He'd sit down in a chair, and we'd get caught up every Christmas day.
Wayne is one of the most genuine people I know today.
Yeah.
And when I say genuine, I mean genuine.
Yeah. We went to his wedding, to Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you running around taking pictures of the event. And there might have been one other white lady there, but my family were the only white folk in that church that day, other than maybe one other lady. And John was probably about 4 years old. And I remember about halfway through
four,
this...
Let me see.
4 or 5.
Was it that long ago?
Yeah, that long ago. And We were probably about halfway through the ceremony, and John erupted and started yelling at the top of his lungs, "I want out of here! I want out of here!" And he wouldn't shut up. You can imagine how we felt. Some lady in front of us turned around, and she had some candy in her purse, and she drug it out and gave it to John, and that shut him up. And let's see, my memory of Ray at that time was he was still halfway clean.
He
was raising kids with his beautiful angel of a wife, Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing odd jobs and carpentering. And
he was learning that from me.
I remember him coming out. We had a big sledding party one winter on the hill behind our house. And he and his girls and son came out. We were all sledding together, had hot chocolate together. There was probably about 30 of us that day. Oh, we had a good time. Good memories for sure.
We've had quite a few.
Oh, yeah.
We've got memories now.
And then Dave
I'm
Thomas.
I'm grateful for all that. Those are treasured, all things considered.
Dave Thomas had just lost his farm. It was the 80s and had spent money, and then the interest rates went up.
Yeah.
Commodity prices were terrible. So that was his, what he was going through when we were in that study together. And then I was milking 60 cows, and Kathleen and I were raising 3 boys, and it was about the best time of our lives raising those boys.
I'm sure.
I remember asking you guys.
And you done well. Looks like.
They have, yeah. You all came out to Jake's wedding. I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember asking each one of you, I think individually off, you know, it wasn't as a group, who your hero was. And all 3 of you black dudes said, "Our hero is Martin." And I tell you what so amazed me about that was you didn't say, "My hero was Dr. Martin Luther King." You said, my hero is Martin. Like he was somebody personal to you.
He was a friend. No, he was.
Yeah.
Because during the time before I even went to Vietnam, I was about 16. And that's when he was really getting my attention. With the civil rights movement, that man had my attention, and really good, really tough. He had my attention about what he was doing, and I was even in the fight. That was the instance where I got involved in the fight about civil rights thing. With the they had a pool hall downtown, and we wanted to shoot some pool one night. I tried to convince the fellas, we need to go down and shoot some pool. "We can't go down and shoot a pool, you know, they're not going to have it." "Oh, no, but they have to have it now because the Civil Rights Bill had just passed. Let's go shoot some pool." They was off that. "Come on, let's go." I convinced them to go. And we got down there. "And what can I do for you boys?" At the counter, because we'd go down there and order candy or something at the counter or sodas. And as far as you could go. And I said, "We came to shoot some poop." "Well, you boy don't shoot no poop." "We came to shoot some poop."
Hmm.
Old man Sears. That's what happened. That was his name. His wife was a teacher at the school. And he looked at me and looked at the other fellow. They just said, their eyes all big. he suspected that I was quite serious and he didn't know how far I was going to take this. So you fellas grabbed that table in the back, way back, the raggedy table in the back. And we was in. Done deal. Dr. Martin, my friend that I grew up with.
Yeah.
Dr. Elmer Martin established the great Black Seal Wax Museum in Baltimore, Maryland. Hmm. He was a teacher and all that kind of stuff. He had he played his part. He went down to Henderson's. Hmm. They had a fountain there and all that. We never could sit down ever in there. We'd go in and get a little drug, because it's a drugstore. And you couldn't sit down. Nothing happened with that. He went down and sit down. Hmm. And they told him, you can't sit down there. He sit down there. And somebody came to their senses and they didn't bother. It stopped right there. We used to have to go up the alley to go in the back doors at a restaurant to get a hamburger on a break from the hayfield or things of that nature. And we had to go to the back door and order anything we wanted out of the restaurants. And that's just how it was.
Yeah.
Couldn't sit down at the place and have a beer or nothing like that. Done. Could not do that. It changed right away. That was our part. Matter of fact, Muhammad Ali was also a big guy in my thing because he didn't want to go fight.
Sure.
He didn't want to go fight the Vietnamese. I saw the reason. It really stayed with me all along. I'm in Vietnam when they killed Dr. Martin Luther King. It was a very painful event. Matter of fact, I was at Quezon. Hmm. Wow. Yeah. Tore me up. And I was experiencing some racism at the time from a first sergeant. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same time. And we're in combat. Come on now. Yeah, so that's part of one of the shockers. And I was still there when he killed Martin Luther King. I saw too much happening while I was in combat. And another instance where I had to face the racism thing in combat. That's a stressful event.
Yeah.
I mean, more than I can say. I don't want to delve on it or get too far into it, but it was pretty bad.
Another thing you guys brought up that I had never thought about, and I naturally, from my background, I thought, but you all were firm in this, and it was the idea that you felt the government, CIA, whoever, FBI, was letting crack cocaine come flooding into the black communities.
Absolutely. Still feel that way.
Just to destroy the black men.
I still feel that way.
Yeah. And
truckloads of guns and all kinds of stuff.
I think you were pointing out that one in three of all black men are either in jail, were in jail, or will be in jail.
Yes.
And
still going today.
Yeah. Still going on today?
It hasn't stopped.
No. Yeah.
And made me worse. They've legalized marijuana. All except the federal government.
Yeah.
The federal government hasn't, but everybody else around puffing, blowing smoke and all this and going on big time.
Throw them in jail. Yep, that's what.
Still, today. Yep. Come on now.
And then I remember Ray saying to me once, he kind of looked at me and he said, you know, usually only white guys hang out with us black guys, because you either want sex from a man or a woman among us, or you want drugs. So I guess I was the exception to the rule.
Absolutely. Well, that's everybody that's close to that. And I wouldn't have made a comment like that. Yeah. I mean, I didn't have enough evidence to go there with that. I wouldn't have went there with that, but it did happen.
Yeah. And, you know, race perception on things are probably a little different than everybody, other people's.
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because he's.
Absolutely, that's still today.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, I don't talk to him.
Another memory, we talked, when we heard you were a martial arts man, We talked you into doing a martial arts workout with our family and a few other guys. And I've got for one whole winter at least, starting in the fall and well into the spring, we would get together in unheated, abandoned buildings.
And do a workout. That, huh? You remember that, huh?
What are your memories of that?
Yeah, that. That right there.
Unheated, abandoned buildings.
Yes, it was. But we got it done. We got it in. We got a lot done with it.
I remember one thing that really stands out to me was Tom Bentley.
Yes.
You were encouraging us to have really loud kiais.
Yeah.
And so Tom belched out a loud kiai, and his dentures went flying across the floor.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was amazing. But he really killed him. That was, man, I remember it very well.
Yeah.
That's one of the big highlights.
So lots of fishing, sledding.
Miss him too.
Sledding parties, Wayne and Lisa's wedding. I remember we took, we had a big float party, floating trip.
Down there.
On the
rafting,
That, and then on the Gasconade River once. And Lisa and Wayne came along, and they brought two, were you along on that one?
No.
Okay.
I heard about it.
They brought along two life preservers, and one was really big, and Lisa grabbed that. And the other one was a little tiny thing that just barely fit around Wayne's head. And when he was in the water, about the only thing that stuck out was his nose. And
man,
our youngest son, Patrick, was in a boat with Lisa. And he actually was in the front of the boat and fell asleep and fell out into the water. And Lisa, quick as can be, grabbed him and pulled him back into the boat and probably saved his life. You know, I know he had a life preserver on. But after a little bit, he said to my wife, "She pushed me."
Yeah, we got reminded of that. I got reminded of that recently. Matter of fact, That was Kathleen that was talking about that recently.
Okay.
Since I've been back from
from
my surgery and all that stuff.
Did you go on us on the river with us when we were camping out one night up on a
Glasgow
island?
River.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I borrowed a boat.
Okay.
from my friend. Who was that? Who's bought boat did I borrow? Elton Bozeller.
Okay.
His son had a boat, and him and his son, he had a boat up his, mm-hmm. his son's house.
Yeah.
And they loaned me the boat.
I expect there were 30 of us on that little jaunt. There was a bunch of kids.
We was all on that boat. I remember coming back down the river, the boat was getting taken on water, and slow down.
Yeah, it was let's see, Rusty Gebhardt was along.
Yeah.
And he was trying to tell
us. He kept his cool. Said, "Slow down." And the water was coming in the boat. I said, "Oh, okay."
My memory of it too was the water was coming into the boat. There was mm-hmm. getting to be some in the bottom. And he said, "See that plug in the bottom of the boat? If we pull that plug out and go real fast, all the water will go out of the boat."
No,
and none of us agreed
with that
idea.
No. We're just going to putt on the rest of the way. No more. It was a putt. And you got out of the boat over there.
Okay.
Over before we came
back
down, all the way back to Glasgow, you was out of the boat.
I think that was before the flood of 93.
Yes.
And I kind of wondered if there was anything left of that island after the flood of 93.
I don't think so.
Probably not.
Well, I don't know. There was a... No, I'm troubled. No, I don't think. I don't think it made it. Because somewhere in that area that the river cut another flow to the south.
Yeah, it went... Well, and you're talking about north of town?
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, it took out the railroad.
Yeah.
And just went straight across.
Yeah, it was definitely wild.
Forget the Cambridge Bridge. We're making our own little river here.
Hey, it did. River changed. It changed course.
Yeah,
it was a blast.
I think that was called the Cambridge Bend up there.
I'm not
sure. That's my memory, yeah. And then the Lisbon Bend, it did the same thing. It cut a new course right across Lisbon Bend.
Yeah. And there's still a big water hole that from that flood out in the field south of the highway going all the way through Saline County. I mean, from Glasgow to Slater. The bottom's right there.
Yeah.
Cut a hole, a couple of holes in there.
Another memory I have is y'all showed up for my son Jake's wedding reception.
Yeah, that was, I thought, hey, and you know it was cold.
they got married in Wyoming on the 16th of September.
Yeah, it was cold.
And worse than that, they were going to have an outside wedding, and it snowed like to beat the band. It was a blizzard.
Yes.
So everything was quick, picked up, all the chairs, tables, everything, and moved into the high school.
I know it was, but yeah. I remember that well.
And then they went on a little honeymoon, and then they came down here for reception. And we were building our house at the time. The tornado had taken our house
yes.
out. And,
yes, I was there. I was still in recovery from a broken neck.
Okay, huh.
Do you remember that?
That part of it I don't recall. But I do remember that reception. We had the frame up for the house. And
a
big tarp over it instead of a roof. And we laid down all the floorboards, but we didn't screw them down yet because I knew I was going to have to take them up and do a bunch
and
of work.
Yeah, you hadn't closed it. Your walls all were not
and
done.
And some lady somehow turned one of them and about went through the floor.
It wasn't me.
And the guys that did the music were Melt customers of mine who were blind, but I knew they had a phenomenal sound system. So I said, how would you like to DJ our party? And they came down and they majored on songs that had Missouri in it. And so we had all of these. Most of them I'd never heard.
Missouri. Yeah, that's unique.
Oh, there were probably 150 people or more at that party.
Like the party I was at.
Ray came and you all kind of kept a distance from each other. You'd start having a little bit of a falling out, but he was there too. I don't think Wayne made it.
But, no, I don't remember him being there.
It was another one of my great memories of times we've had together.
We've had some nice times, man, I'm telling you. And the killer, Kathleen. She's right in there. She hang right in there, man.
Well, then in 94, I got really busy with my new enterprise of delivering milk to homes. I could see the writing on the wall that a small dairy was never going to be able to exist anymore unless you went at it kind of different. So I started selling raw milk to folks.
I remember you was... Do you remember when I gave you that butter maker?
Bottle maker.
Butter.
Butter maker.
The little clothes washing machine.
Yeah.
Antique washing machine.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Excuse me. And I said, now there's the butter machine right there.
Yeah.
And I gave you that.
I used it a long time.
And it worked fine, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
We
sold so much low-fat milk that I had too much cream left over. So I'd fill that wringer washer with the cream, plug it in, back and forth the agitator went.
Whoosh, 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 whoosh. Yeah, that was it, man.
And I could get real good yield in the winter. But in the summer when they went on grass, it changed everything and I couldn't get any butter hardly at all. So it was quite a deal.
Yeah, but that was I thought it was...
So that's where that washing machine came from. All right.
That's where they came from. I got it from a guy in Carlton. In Carlton, Missouri. That's where I got that washing machine from. And I said, he had shown me this washing machine he had. I didn't give it a whole lot of mine.
Right.
Then when I started thinking butter.
And the amazing thing was our...
Now this thing will make butter right here because...
Our cattle were on grass so much of the time, which was green, and it made our butter so yellow. Just all that vitamin A in it.
It was, I knew it would work though.
Yeah.
I just knew that would work.
It worked great. Well, then I got really busy. We were delivering milk to 400 families a week and milking cows and feeding them and raising kids. And I must confess, I kind of lost contact of you. But I remember one day in Columbia, knocking on some door, and there you were. You were with some hot mama down there and living in Columbia. And, whoa, it's Johnny Ward.
Yeah, I was down there for a while.
And then shortly after that, I heard that you'd left for the Philippines.
Yeah.
And then I really lost touch with you.
I was gone.
Yep.
I was gone. I had been through a lot at that time. I had been doing surgeries. And...
Well, I think I'm going to call it a wrap on this now. And next time we get together, I'm going to find out about those missing years, about 15 of them, where I had no clue what you were up to.
Those missing years was leading up to some of the hassles I had when I was in the Philippines, and then and I was losing my vision. And
yeah. Well, I hope we can stir up some good memories of the Philippines, too.
There's a couple, two or three then.
Okay, two or three. All right, well, we'll be sure to major on those then.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot more about, not so good things that went on.
Okay, well, thanks, Johnny, for this time. It's been good.
Well, thank you.